So call us now. 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 Radio Wonderland is my solo show, my band, my act, my piece, and it actually can sometimes act in a sentence in any of those ways. It also is sort of a pseudonym. In fact, I thought maybe in some circumstances I should be called DJ Radio Wonderland, because everybody has to have a DJ name. But it is a project that I've been working on for years, in which I take sounds off of live radio, live commercial radio, transform them in the computer live into funky patterns. And I control the audio processing with a steering wheel, an actual steering wheel, and old shoes that I hit with sticks, and knobs and buttons and sliders. All the processing is in the laptop, and all the source material is live radio. And the software is written by me in Max MSP programming environment. My goal has been to see with how little processing is necessary for it to be a truly funky collage, instead of like what's the most fabulous obscure algorithm that I can come up with and use up computer horsepower and amaze people with like my programming prowess. It's more like the way a line drawing kind of says more about perception than photorealism does. If I can just slice the radio and make simple changes and it becomes its own groove, that's more amazing to me. And what I discovered, I actually learned so much in creating this and trying to fulfill my goal. I learned things that I never dreamed of. And one of them is these grooves, they tend to work. They swing. And I think a lot of it has to be that it is audio controlled sequencing. In other words, the sequencing is rhythmically as accurate as the sample rate. So it's much tighter than MIDI, if that means anything to whoever is listening. And I think that it's kind of a geeky thing, but it feels so nice, nicer than I expected. Have to categorize different kinds of radio that I get, and I seek different kinds. The familiar can be good. Language is good. Isolated spoken word. My mission is to pervert and subvert the commercial media. So if they're playing, Steve Reich remixed on WNYC, I don't want to remix that. It makes much more sense for me to re-sample and remix the commercial for a hospital, for a car, the news, the DJ. Because I have the constraints of the unpredictable radio, I can allow myself to use easy associations, funny jokes, whatever juxtaposition or association I can apply to it usually works. Whereas if I was home trying to think of the ideal sample, I would avoid anything that was like, hitting the nail too much on the head, and I try to be sophisticated. And it's a whole different ballgame when I'm dealing with random stuff. I also like to use sustained sound, because a lot of what I'm doing is imposing my rhythm on the source material, which is why hip hop in particular works really poorly for me to do what I'm doing, unless I sample an entire loop and synchronize my groove to that loop. And I do that sometimes, I might do that more, but it's more about taking pop music with sustained sounds, chopping them up, and also making it a little bit towards hip-hop, but even more towards sort of electronic dance music. I've been heckled, but I haven't really gotten requests like that. I've had people who are convinced that I was faking it. One guy, a friend of mine, he and I had been talking about some 60s song, and it happened to come on the radio when I did my show the next week. And so that convinced him, I just chickened out at the last minute and pre-recorded it. But I couldn't, I wouldn't, because it kind of kills it for me and it changes the challenge, like I was saying. And when I was developing these algorithms, and as I practice and I revise and work in the studio, I always use live radio, because otherwise I could get caught. And supposing I was using some sample and over again and applying some process to it, and then when I got out there live, there were things about it that I didn't realize I had been counting on. So I can't do it like that. So I'm legit, okay? I was commissioned to create music and interactivity for two exhibits, actually, for the brand new Connecticut Science Center. It opened in June in Connecticut. It is a big, big building that it's high tech and it's green somehow because of whatever they do, recycling and the way the vents are or something. And I worked with a team who built these fanciful sculptures that light up when you touch them. It's called Art Jam. I devised the way that they light up and the way that that controls music. And the idea was that anyone can make music by touching these instruments with no instructions. You just kind of understand that you touch this thing, it lights up. So then you think, yes, that was the thing I was supposed to touch. A sound comes out, but somehow it's always the right sound. It always matches the rest of the music. The note that came out was always part of a chord that I had chosen in advance. So there's an underlying chord pattern, an underlying harmony, and whatever you happen to play always matches that. And then we have this giant drum machine that has little individual notes that light up when you hit them. And I programmed these special sort of priority rules so that if you flail away in a little bit of time, some of your notes have started to disappear, but the notes that work better with the groove kind of last a little longer. So you get the idea is you get feedback, you get a lot of control, but there are subtle constraints that make it musical. And it was really interesting to explore those possibilities and think, well, what gives people the feeling of control while at the same time making all the players happy with each other and feeling good that what they're doing is coming out nice. And it was very interesting project, and it's up, it's permanently installed.
Suck